A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "If only you would heed the voice of the Lord your God and keep his commandments and statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you return to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. For this command that I enjoin on you today is not too mysterious and remote for you. It is not up in the sky that you should say, 'Who will go up in the sky to get it for us and tell us of it that we may carry it out?' Nor is it across the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea to get it for us and tell us of it that we may carry it out?' No, it is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. You have only to carry it out." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
With you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, "Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back." Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim? He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Do you think that the scholar of the law responds to Jesus' parable by being offended, by being indifferent, or by being positively challenged? When this gospel comes along in the reading schedule, it's one which we all are very familiar with. And for most people, when they hear it, our minds go to, well, Jesus is telling this parable to answer the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Or Jesus is telling this parable in order to help us have a roadmap on how to treat others, especially the poor and those in need. And while these answers are true, I don't think it captures all of what Jesus is up to. I think that Jesus tells this parable to provoke a reaction from the scholar of the law. Everything Jesus does provokes some kind of reaction, and typically it's one of those three: offense, challenge, or indifference. What do we know of the scholar of the law? We know that he has the courage to stand and test Jesus. We also know that when he answers, he wants to go one step further to justify himself. Jesus never loses sight of the person in front of him, and he will never use any person as the means of just teaching others. Jesus is profoundly concerned with the scholar of the law who is in front of him. And so Jesus tells this parable, one which could be highly offensive. Jesus tells him that there is this wounded, half-dead man on the road, and the priest and the Levite, men who are to have the fullness of religion, like this scholar of the law, they pass by on the other side. Men like himself pass by on the other side. And it is a Samaritan traveler who stoops down to heal this wounded man. And for the Jews, Samaritans were less than half-breeds. They had been members of the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom who were wiped away, and foreign people were brought in and mixed with them. And they had aspects of the true religion, but it was this corrupted, dirty form. And the Samaritans and the Jews had been enemies for centuries. But here Jesus says, the man like you walks on the other side. The Samaritan gets down with the wounded man. How does the scholar of the law respond? I don't think Jesus is there simply to offend the man, although some people could take offense to that. But everything that Jesus does is out of love. And true love, especially if you've been in love, you know something of this. True love looks at the beloved and says that I see you sometimes even more clearly than you see yourself. I see the hidden beauties, the real strengths, the imperfections, and I choose you and I love you because of all those things. But true love also acknowledges you're not yet who you're supposed to be. And that's why the gift of love calls you to be better. It calls you to change. And so I don't think that Jesus means the scholar of the law to identify with the priest or the Levite. Instead, I think Jesus wants the scholar of the law to become healed and to integrate. Because the scholar has said truly, the two greatest commandments are to love God with your whole being and to love your neighbor as yourself. But clearly he's not able to do that because he stands and tests God himself. And because he has to ask the question, who is my neighbor? There is something broken in this man, and there is something broken in each of us. So as we hear this parable, yes, it's about taking care of the poor, but more deeply, it's about how do we respond to the voice of God who calls us to become more than we are. So let us picture all of us. Let us picture the scholar of the law as the traveler going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It is a 17-mile walk. You descend 3,200 feet. Jerusalem is a symbol of heaven because it's where the temple is. Jericho was a summer getaway where the rich and the powerful would go. It is also often a place of sin and temptation. And the wounded traveler, like all of us, we all leave Jerusalem. We all sin. We all go chasing after whatever it is that's in Jericho awaiting us. And on the way, we're attacked by bandits. We are attacked by our sins, our disordered desires, whatever that might be. And they beat us, and they leave us half dead spiritually, whether it's gambling, alcohol, sins of the flesh, addictions to screens, the refusal to give generously of ourselves, not just financially, but from our very being. It can be not even sins, but it could be those things which take us away from our true identity. It could be anxiety. It could be some kind of untreated personality disorder. It could be whatever it is which takes away our ability to love God fully, to be loved by him fully, and then to give ourselves to others. So we've all made that trip, and we've all been beaten, and some people here still have not experienced the healing. But the Samaritan comes, this wanderer from a faraway land. It is Jesus Christ himself. who has come from the faraway land of heaven to be with us and to stoop down and meet us in our brokenness and to pick us up and heal us. But he would ask the wounded traveler, do you want to be saved? Do you want to be healed? This is the invitation to all of us. Are you content to stay in your false self? Are you content to stay a slave to sin? Are you content to stay half dead spiritually on the side of the road? And if we say yes, God will not save us without our cooperation. He always offers, but we have to accept. But for those who are willing to admit, I need healed, the Samaritan takes him to the inn. And the inn is a symbol of the church. And there's the oil and the wine, which are symbols of the sacraments, especially the sacraments of healing, like confession. And he leaves him in the care of the inn-giver, who the church fathers see as the bishop or the priest. And he leaves the coins, which is the symbol of his sacrifice for us. He has died for us. He has paid our debt. And he leaves some to the church, to the innkeeper, to the priest. And he says, care for him until I come again. And if you need more than this, when I do come again, I will reward you. I will pay the debt fully. And then the man is healed. Jesus tells this parable, and I think that the scholar of the law identifies with the man on the side of the road. Because Jesus asks him, which of these men was friend and neighbor to the stranger? And the scholar, who before stood to test Jesus and to justify himself, now answers, the one who showed mercy. Has he perhaps recalled his own sinfulness? Has he perhaps gone on that road to Jericho and been dissatisfied with what awaits? Has he traveled in the company of that priest and Levite who now are more concerned about their ritual purity and so avoid a corpse versus caring for one who had been their friend? Has Jesus made him aware of his own need for healing? The one who has showed mercy has been neighbor. Jesus says, go and do likewise. I have hope for the scholar of the law, that he responds to this as a challenge rather than an offense. And the invitation for all of us is when we hear the voice of Jesus, whether it's in prayer, whether it's through the voice of someone who loves us, whether it's in counseling, if we're in counseling, whether it's through the teachings of the church, which offers nothing other than what Jesus Christ has given her, do we hear those voices and do we take offense because we like our false self? We're comfortable with where we're at. We've become used to sin. Or perhaps we're not sure that the other person loves us. Do we take offense? Are we indifferent and our heart doesn't beat? Or do we see it as a loving challenge of Jesus Christ stooping down and saying, you are more than this. Take my hand and let me heal you. So this Sunday, as we hear the parable of the Good Samaritan, pause and call to mind, where is it in my heart that I have not yet let God love me fully? Because it's only when we've let God love us as we truly are, without any pretense, without hiding from him, without trying to justify ourselves, it's only then that we will be able to love ourselves. And it's only in loving ourselves authentically that we can love anyone else. Because if you're not sure of your goodness and your belovedness, you will always struggle to love well. And God has desired to love you well and for you to love others. So call to mind, invite the Lord, if there's any area in my heart where I respond to you with offense or indifference, soften my heart, pour your love into it, and let me receive your healing touch so that in receiving, I can give that back out to others.